Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stage Voices, Episode 4, the podcast about people talking about theater and different things that they do on stage. So I know we haven't done anything in a very long time. It has been crazy over here in the podcast house, but we have a fantastic guest for this episode. We've come back with a bang. Here it is, the fabulous Kelly Holly. I actually met her doing my grad program at San Diego State, and turns out she is a fantastic dramaturg. That's what she's going to be talking about. Also, a very unique theater company that she's a part of on the East Coast in Boston, and amongst several other things. So Kelly is a podcast veteran friend of mine who frequently comes on the Arrow of Time podcast, but I decided that regardless, I needed to sit down with her and just pound out a great podcast. She's a very interesting person, comes from just interesting background, and has a lot of great, great ideas about theater and what she does, and a area in theater that I would say not a whole lot of people know exactly what it's about. So let her educate you as she did me in this episode of Stage Voices. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stage Voices. So today we have the lovely Kelly Holly over here.
Hello.
In front of me. Yes. Hi. And so, Kelly, you have started. You're actually making a nice little name for yourself as a dramaturg.
Thank you.
And
I don't think so.
Yes. Just recently graduated from the SDSU Masters of Arts Theater Department.
I mean, that's your degree too. You should be able better at saying that.
Yes, that is weird that I just stumbled all through that. Yes, theater arts. How about that?
Good.
A master's in theater, MA. So yes, which actually has a lot of ground in dramaturgy.
Yes, it does.
Is that why you decided to come to SDSU?
Yeah, I decided to come to SDSU for a couple of reasons. One, I initially was looking at MFA programs, but I did like the openness of the MA program because it kind of gave me a little bit more flexibility and leeway to what I was kind of looking into. You know, I'm definitely in the dramaturgy camp, but I do lean a lot towards academia, and so does the program. So it was nice to kind of have a mixture of those. And I also came here because of Shelley Orr and DJ Hopkins. So,
because they are some heavyweights in the dramaturgy world.
That's true.
Especially Shelley, who's the president, or was the president.
Former president.
Former president of LMDA.
Yes, and LMDA is the Literary Managers and Dramaturgs of the Americas.
That's a pretty big title.
Yep.
So what started you into this theater world?
Theater world?
Yes.
Like theater world, the whole thing?
The whole thing. When did you like, yeah, initially, what kicked you into this?
Oh my goodness. I was 10. And I was part of a winter break, like a February vacation. You don't have February vacation here, do you?
No, we don't. That sounds awesome, though.
Yeah. February vacation is pretty good. So it was February vacation in Massachusetts, and they had like a February vacation camp where we did The Wizard of Oz, and I was a lead munchkin.
Really?
Yeah. It's because I was tall.
Wait, you were a munchkin because you were tall? That sounds like...
I was
like
a lead munchkin because I was tall. See, I was a tall 10-year-old, and they're like, man, you're still pretty short, but... stand up here.
All right.
Yep.
Nice. So you were on the stage then. I feel like people get brought to the theater on the stage.
I agree. You know, there's not really many roles that small children can play behind the scenes. Like, I mean, I'm sure people have tried it, and I'm sure that some people have been brought in that way. But like, yeah. When you're a kid, it's mostly through the stage. So yes, I was temporarily an actor. I played Bert in Bye Bye Birdie when I was 11.
Really?
Yeah, I was pretty good at being Dick Van Dyke, which is what I thought I was doing.
Or no, that's Al, right?
Oh.
Bert is Dick Van Dyke's character in Mary Poppins. I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have renamed him or said, "Hey, this is Bert."
I mean, as yeah. I said, I was pretty sure I was just playing Dick Van Dyke. So.
You were, yeah.
Yeah, Al. Yeah.
What kid isn't playing Dick Van Dyke when they're in youth theater? So you started doing stuff on the stage, and then like what was the thing that made you say, hey, I want to go into dramaturgy or I like research?
So a couple things. That's a good question. When I was in high school, we had like a theater competition in like the state. Well, like in and then the district at a, like a smaller scale that you could like have like a one act festival. And yeah. My high school kind of gave up on that. So eventually, like the year before I started, the students decided that they were just going to direct it. So the year before I did it, a student directed the one act and then I got to direct it. So that was kind of my foray into directing, which I thought I was going to do for a long time. And I went to undergrad initially for directing. But in my first day of orientation, my dramaturgy professor later on, who was my advisor for my major, told us all that we were going to be dramaturgs. And like the nine of us looked at each other because it was a small school. The nine of us looked at each other and we're like, I have no idea what a dramaturg is. I'm definitely not going to be that though. That's yeah. not why I'm here. And then, you know, we all went to college and then pretty sure I'm the only person who actually became a dramaturg, but she was, you know, one in nine.
Yeah.
not great odds, but she was right for a little bit.
What about it attracted you?
I really like research.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I think it's kind of funny once I found out kind of what dramaturgy was, because like I was doing a lot of that stuff in high school. You know, in high school, I spent 3 years compiling a history of my high school drama club by going through old newspapers and yearbooks and like interviewing people.
Wow.
Because I thought that would be fun. So that's how I spent my high school years. I was really cool. But like, you know, like obviously that's not all of what dramaturgy is, but like I think it's yeah. a good foray into that. So
I should probably, talk a little bit about what dramaturgy is.
Nah.
Just let everybody guess if they don't know. So, being the skilled and toned dramaturg you are, what would you say the dramaturgy is? What is it to you?
It's one of the hardest things to define.
Yeah, it is.
Like it's like one of those things that like you have to like know what it is in order to like know what it is, which is awful. And like you know, we were talking about this at the LMDA conference that was about 3 weeks ago now, which I'm sure we'll probably talk about.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
But, you know, one of the problems they were talking about, like, is how, as a profession, we've been around for you know, several decades now in the United States, and it's still hard to define ourselves. But I heard the best definition I've heard in a while the other day, which yeah. I'm now kind of taking as my own, even though it's not mine. It's Charles Hoglan's of the Huntington Theater, so thank you. But what he said was that dramaturgy is taking the story and everything involving the story from the first time it's introduced into the theater all the way through and following it through like the last talkback. So it's just kind of making sure the story is consistent throughout, which involves making sure that it's solid in the production angles and reaching the community and has you know, the play itself is supported, kind of having a multifaceted way and following it around and make sure it keeps integrity.
That's a really good definition.
I know, right?
That's the first time.
Stealing it.
Yes, it totally like encompasses like everything.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, coming to it, before I took Shelley's class, I was like, okay, well, it's somebody that Googles the information that nobody knows yet.
Yeah.
And then, but then it goes further to like, oh, well, you know, here's, you know, lobby displays, you know, this is the costumes, and here are like the sets that have come up, and here's like some concepts, and or here's ideas that were drawn from, like these very like scattered ideas or whatever that just kind of come in. So, but that definition kind of sums up all of that.
Yeah, and like it has obviously a lot of other, you know, and the thing is it's so multifaceted that it has a lot of other roles too. Like a lot of dramaturgs do translation. Dramaturgs are very crucial a lot to the new play development process, where they work with the playwright. Often they work, you know, they do research and Google and things like that, but also making sure that the context of the play is accessible for the audience, for the you know, the actors, the production staff, to make sure that, and you know, we've talked about in Shelley's class, but you know, in general, it's definition too, kind of as an extra pair of eyes for the director, for the producers, you know, as an almost like a quasi audience member seeing it and seeing it from the outside, rather than as the director or the playwright might see it from like so close to their actual creation of art. Yeah. So there's, you know, so much there. I think that's a great definition of it. The second best definition I can give is dramaturgy, kind of like metallurgy, but for drama.
Nice. So what was the very first show that you got to cut your teeth on doing this?
The first show I did a production called Light Up the Sky, which I did in college. And it was a very cool show, but it was very much on the research end of things, which I really enjoyed because I do enjoy that research. And like, again, as we just discussed, dramaturgy is certainly not all just research, but I do enjoy that. So the play was set in the 1940s in Boston. And so it was really fun researching all the things that were like kind of where I was at the time, because I went to undergrad in Boston. And it was nice to be like, hey, that's that building, and they're talking about this specific reference, and like I can figure these things out and put them together, and I created a lot of maps and, you know, found a lot of research.
Nice.
Yeah, well, research scavenger hunts, which I particularly enjoy, but that was kind of my first like foray into it.
Yeah. Is there anything, dramaturgy, since it goes through so many different aspects, it can kind of change from show to show, more so than like costumes and sets and sound can change, like, well, we're doing something a little bit, you know, a little bit more different here, you know, some, we're just going to wear hats made of trash or something like that. But
it's a good show.
Yeah, trash hat. I just made that up. I'm going to write it right now. But it seems like dramaturgy, like the whole show, or the idea changes drastically with the show, because it's, you're not just doing like a thing that you've normally done, except just changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's like your
position,
yeah,
kind of changed.
I'm translating a show. Now I'm doing all these lobby displays or...
No, I know what you mean. I agree with you. I think that's one of the things that's very interesting about dramaturgy. And I also think that's why a lot of people don't really understand what the dramaturg does.
Yeah.
Because they may see a dramaturg working on one show and they're doing a completely different thing than they saw their last dramaturg doing.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, you know, a lot of times, like lobby displays are a great example that they're keep bringing up because people see those. So a lot of times people just kind of connect those two because they're like, oh, yeah, this is a physical thing I can see. But obviously the dramaturg does a lot more that's kind of intangible. And like, you know, working with communicating effectively between the director and the playwright, or the playwright and the producers, or the show and the act, you know, like wherever those communications and those networks lie, they're often created but kind of unseen. So like, hopefully, and like, that's kind of how communication should be. You shouldn't be able to necessarily detect that there have been a lot of different circumstances navigated, and it should just be kind of flush.
Yeah.
But like, you know, so a lot of times, you know, the lobby display, which is a really good tool and it is effective for a lot of things, including, you know, bringing the play to the audience, but that's kind of what a dramaturg may be noticed for. But, you know, I think that going back to your kind of initial point, you know, with the kind of ever-changing role of the dramaturg, having those communications and questioning skills are really important. And making sure that you have early conversations with whoever you're working with, typically a playwright or a director, and just kind of making sure you're on the same page about what kind of relationship they want and how they like to communicate, and, you know, making sure that you have those early conversations to lay a foundation for what the relationship and what the role is going to be.
Nice. So what was the most, like, different thing that you've done? or something that really like challenged you? How about that?
Okay, that's a good question.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There you go, brain.
You know, I worked on a show in 2013. Wait, it's 2013. That was called The Aurora Project, and it was all set in on a spaceship that and the show spans over a million years.
Oh, wow.
So it was a real challenge just to kind of create cohesion in that world. And, like, you know, the cast was, an android and a human, and the human's several clones and a hologram and two aliens. So, like, it was a lot of work to kind of create the cohesion there and make it believable and understandable while still having it be that alien and foreign and fantastic.
Yeah. Wow.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Wow. Right. That seemed like, what did you end up doing for that? Were you able to?
Yeah. I would say that a lot of it had to do with the way that, ultimately, like, we kind of used the physical space of the stage and, how, like, the setting worked, but also, like, the way that the characters navigated on stage and, like, the way that they held their bodies. And that was a lot of work, and conversations between, like, the director, playwright, and myself, just to kind of navigate those different ways that people are and post-humans are. So it was really interesting, particularly as we show the passage of time and kind of try to articulate those ideas.
So this was at the Sci-Fi Theater?
Yeah, Science Fiction Theater Company.
Tell us about that.
Oh, great.
I want to hear about that.
So I'm a literary manager of the Science Fiction
Theater. Which is another aspect of dramaturgy.
Yeah, we didn't cover that one.
What does a literary manager do?
So a literary manager is, I would say, kind of a dramaturg plus. I guess that's perhaps a way of saying it, or like a different version of a dramaturg, because I do perform a lot of dramaturgical elements, and I'm the dramaturg on most of our shows. So, but also has a lot to do with selecting the season and outreach and things like that. I've read my fair share of science fiction plays and, try to work to create interesting, timely, pieces.
So when did you get involved with that theater?
I got involved with them. I actually got involved with them shortly before I moved to San Diego.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What? Said, oh, good.
Why?
Oh, just like right when you get involved with them, then you move out west. Yeah.
But I got involved with them in their first season. They're now going into their fourth season. So I've been kind of working with them a little bit of afar since then, and more so as I'm in the process of moving back to Boston.
Yeah. So in your role there, do you manage the Facebook page?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So all those great posts that I've been reading are from you.
Most of them. Sometimes I have like days off, but
yeah. Yeah. Nice. Thanks. In the science fiction theater, what are they about?
Yeah, so the science fiction theater in general is a growing field. I would say nationally, but also internationally. But a lot of companies still do adaptations. We don't do any adaptations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that adaptations are valid, and I'm not like poo-pooing adaptations by any means, because like we all love those classic works, and it's really interesting to see them reimagined. But we focus on new work because science fiction exists well in novels and comics and movies, certainly, and television. Yeah. And, you know, it's long been kind of ignored on the stage, which is funny because it kind of, not 100%, but almost originated on stage. We've had, over 100 years of science fiction on stage. It's just been kind of hidden.
Yeah.
So, Frankenstein certainly counts as science fiction.
I always think of like Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors, absolutely. You know what I mean? That's 100% science
Rocky Horror.
Yeah. George Bernard Shaw wrote a lot of science fiction. So did Ray Bradbury later on. Sam Shepard's written a lot of science fiction for the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And like Ray Bradbury, Sam Shepard, Ray Bradbury both have written science fiction for the stage. And, you know, it's been a history of it. It's just been a little bit more hidden. We know them for their novels or their more, like, we know Sam Shepard for more things like Buried Child than we know him for The Unseen Hand.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's not there, but it's kind of emerging for the first time. And at Science Fiction Theater Company, we really like to kind of look at the theatrical about it and put new works on stage that are definitely emerging now, that are timely, that are relevant to our social issues, that let us explore fantastic new worlds and problems that we can, that are contemporary problems, but can be kind of blown apart by fantastic elements and futures and utopias, and examined in a way that our modern constructs wouldn't allow for. So we don't do adaptations. We do a lot of new works. We work with playwrights pretty regularly. We put on a lot of world premieres, a lot of regional premieres, a lot of second times things have been performed. And we try to kind of put the theatrical into science fiction.
Nice. So has it been received decently?
Yeah. You know, I recently, in April, went to the first International Science Fiction Theater Conference, which was super exciting. But one of the things that completely flabbergasted me when I was there was that people knew of our work. And people at the conference in England had seen our work.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was super cool.
So this is blowing up.
Yeah, it's blowing up. And, you know, a lot of, like, different theater organizations are kind of looking at science fiction more now. Like, we recently participated in a blog series that the New York Innovative Theater Foundation did. They did a month of science fiction theater on their their site, and that was really cool to be a part of. And, you know, there's a lovely Facebook group that, like, kind of keeps everyone in the know and creating a network between people who are doing it. Because there are a good number, not a good number, but there are a growing amount of other science fiction theater companies across the country. And it's really important, I firmly believe this too, that we kind of create a community in that as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So it's definitely blowing up, which is great and super exciting.
Yeah, this does seem like a really cool avenue, because I've never really thought of something like sci-fi that would do really well on the stage. I mean, I guess I never thought it wouldn't be able to, but
sure, it's just not something you kind of expect.
Yeah, this is never something I really thought of, but yeah, now that just thinking about it, like, it has such potential.
Mm-hmm. And one of the really cool things about science fiction theater is that you get to do a lot of small science fiction, which does well in movies and stuff like that, but it's less common. I don't know if you've seen, like, Primer.
I haven't.
Primer's good. You should see it.
Yeah.
But, like, small science fiction is really cool because it, you know, science fiction is not just explosions and big epic landscapes and armies of thousands.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the actual concepts and, like, how that has an implication on our, you know, our moral and ethical questions and our human condition. So, you know, small science fiction can really present that well, and theater's a really great avenue for that, because it allows you to explore that in a really intimate space.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, just thinking about some science fiction stuff, I'm watching Battlestar Galactica right now. Since you made me.
I've been, like, so dignified and posed, and then I go, yeah.
But, yeah, just the things that they talk about on there, you know, whether it's right to, like, make these really tough decisions of blowing up a civilian ship if it poses a threat, like even a little bit of one, and how to deal with that. And, oh, no, there's Cylons. I almost said Silurians. wrong podcast. But just, like, the idea of, you know, oh, we all look like each other, and which one is which, and, like, the all this drama that's not necessarily, like, I've got my space gun. It's just, like, it's actual, like, political problems or social problems.
Yeah, and, like, one of the things that it'll probably get to you, I don't know exactly where you are in Battlestar, but it's probably a little further down the line. It'll talk about religion a lot too, which I think is really interesting. And I think that in general, science fiction does that really effectively. And I think that's something that, you know, you can also kind of examine.
Yeah. Talking about without talking about specific things.
Exactly. And you know, one of the cool things about doing science fiction theater too is you get to use a lot of theatrical means to create things. Like, you know, there's a playwright in New York named Mac Rogers who does a lot of stuff with sound, which is really cool because you can kind of create the monster in your mind rather than on the stage, which is super cool because, you know, everyone's seen the movie where they build this all this really scary monster and then you ultimately see the monster and it's like
a big rubber monster.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, well, that's not as scary as you all seem to think it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, building it in your mind obviously allows for, you know, the unknown and those questions, which is great. And, you know, but you can kind of use theatricality in different ways, too. Like there's a, you know, do you know about Vampire Cowboy?
No, I don't.
Vampire Cowboy is a great theater company in New York. And they do sci-fi, but they do a lot of geek theater.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't say...
That's another subgenre of theater.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they necessarily do just sci-fi, though, because, like, they did a show that's actually kind of blowing up, but they did a show called She Kills Monsters, which is all about D&D.
Really?
Yeah, but their artistic director and the playwright who wrote She Kills Monsters, Kui Wim, is... he wrote this really fantastic play called Fight Girl Battle World, which is kind of like the space epic. It is. Like, it really involves... It's like... It has a lot of, like, Star Wars references and things like that in it because it's, like, kind of that genre of space epic where you're expecting a lot of fighting and ships going things, but he uses puppets.
Really?
Yeah, and it's really fascinating because that's such a theatrical element. It's a really nice use of, like, this intimate space and these means that we've been using for centuries to kind of create the new and the modern.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you see that thing I posted? This is probably bad to say. Did you see this thing I posted on Facebook the other day? the Star Wars shadow puppets thing?
No.
Yeah. So I didn't, this isn't something I found, but Night News, which is a great theater organization. That's an international like kind of organization that talks about theater. If you haven't seen them, check it out. It's really awesome.
Maybe, but they post a thing to it.
They posted a great link the other day that was talking about how Star Wars is helping bring back the tradition of Malaysian shadow puppets because like Malaysian shadow puppets have been a long tradition, but they've kind of faded out. But like now they're using Star Wars as like this epic, recognizable story to kind of bring back that lost art form. And it's really cool of a way of combining science fiction and...
Interesting. Yeah. Star Wars is another one of those examples, too, of... there's a lot of, like, spacey sci-fi stuff around it, but when it gets to the heart of the problem, it's like...
But it's a space opera.
It's a space opera, yeah. So, like, it works so well. You can kind of... separated a little bit from all the, I guess, things that aren't as accessible to just the regular theater goer.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, now that we both kind of mentioned that phrase, and particularly in turn with Star Wars, but space opera, it's easy to forget that opera is a theatrical means and not just a word we use to describe grandiose.
Yeah.
But, like, but it is, you know, like, it's obviously... kind of pulling together all these different elements and, you know, Lucas based Star Wars off of Robin Hood and things like that. But Robin Hood's based off stage plays. And that's the way that it was filmed at that time, too.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of compiling all these different theatrical elements. And that's why it's really successful.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm very much looking forward to the sci-fi company.
You should be.
Yes. And you've been doing like broadcast dramaturgy because you've been... dramaturging over here.
Yeah.
And then on the West Coast for a show on the East Coast.
That's true. I'll be back soon.
There's probably a better word for that, but...
Long distance.
Digital.
Virtual. Yeah, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's been interesting. Long distance dramaturging.
Yeah.
I'm going back, as I said, to Boston, and I'm kind of excited to be back in the immediate vicinity to kind of contribute and build there.
Yeah. Nice. Has it been tough? Is it like one of the tougher dramaturgs you've done?
Yeah, I mean, it's always challenging when you're not in the room. It's difficult when you're not regularly there to kind of be hands-on. Being in the room as a dramaturg is important, and consequently, I have gone back to Boston whenever I can to be in the room.
Oh, wow.
So I've gone back a number of times during rehearsal processes and things like that, so I can be there at least part of the time, which has been good and has been helpful, but it's definitely been a challenge not always being there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the time difference doesn't really help either.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just having to deal with that.
Yeah.
So they're 3 hours, like
3 hours ahead.
Yeah. Ahead. Ugh. That's some serious time.
Yeah.
I guess it might be more depending. They probably don't do a whole lot of early morning things. It's just,
no, it's not so much early morning, but it's just like, you know,
rehearsals in the middle of your workday.
Yeah, like, rehearsals in the middle of workday, or like in classes and things like that. Where it's like, I'd be fine if it was a different schedule without the time difference.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned going to England. That was a cool, like, recent development.
That was really cool. Yeah, that was really exciting. You know, they had, as I said, the first international conference for science fiction, which was super exciting. It was decently well attended, and a lot of people brought really interesting things that they had been working on. And we got to see a lot of different varied things, because science fiction itself, as it is growing, is still small. So we had some people who kind of approached science fiction through literature, and some people who approached science fiction through fantasy, and some people who approached science fiction through anime. And we had one company that I fully recommend checking it out, because it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was Whole Hog Theater Company, and they're in England, and they did a whole anime performance that they took on tour for a long time, and it was completely out of puppets, and it was amazing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah, until you said puppets, I was just imagining people like with big, like, cartoony, spiky hair and like giant eyes and crazy backdrops.
Yeah, I was kind of like a little hesitant at first too, because I was like, oh, you stage anime? How do you do that?
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't get to see any of their performances, but I saw a video of it, and I highly recommend checking it out. It's really cool to see how they can kind of capture a style suggestively and through different mediums.
Wow, interesting. Mm-hmm. So people are doing all kinds of things.
They are.
So how did you get into the England?
You know, I'm not exactly sure the exact route. One of the former company members brought it to the table about a little over a year ago now, that there was a call for papers. I'm not sure if someone emailed it to him or if he found it on his own. But a former company member brought it to the table, and I submitted an abstract for it, and it got accepted.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you're there, and like, you got to speak on behalf of the science fiction.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking on behalf of Science Fiction Theater Company, but I presented a paper. So
yeah, and so what was the paper about?
My paper was about theater as a future, science fiction theater as a future memory machine. So do you know Marvin Carlson's book, The Haunted Stage?
That's familiar.
Okay. So in that book, he talks a lot about how theater is a memory machine, and talking about how, like, the ghosts in theaters and things like that, in terms of, like, recognizing performers before reusing space and having those mechanisms to kind of create I learned this word from DJ, like, yesterday, hauntology. It was in the email he sent us. I love that word.
Oh, yeah.
Like a theatrical hauntology. Yeah. In my paper, I was looking at kind of science fiction as a way to create future memories. So you have an event typically in the future, and you have to kind of bridge the gap between the future events on stage and the audience's reality. And you have to theatrically create a space for them to understand those events in the play.
Really?
Yeah. So I was talking about creating those future memories and projecting them on the audience.
Nice. Did you get, like, when you're at this conference, did they, were they able to get you to do other things around England, any other theater things, enjoy the...
I mean, I did that on my own, but not really through the conference. I got to see, and this is not sci-fi related at all, or really dramaturgy, but I got to see The Drowned Man, which is a Punch Drunk show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was fascinating. So it was really cool because it was like an old Hollywood fable they were billing it as. And it was four floors of a warehouse, and like it was just like you can like run around and investigate the space and follow different performers, and they had like a couple dance things because it was like Hollywood glamour. And then like one floor was like a entirely a beach, and one floor was like a blizzard had happened there, and one was just a forest you could run through, and the trees were all the way up to the ceiling, and it was real trees. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and also bring it around to science fiction. Punch Drunk did the Doctor Who play.
Yes, they did.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
That Moffat wrote where you run around and have to solve things and there's monsters chasing you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the you in this scenario is children, but...
Well, yeah. It's for kids. Children, yeah.
Unfortunately.
I would totally go there.
Oh, I would totally go to that too.
Oh, yeah, but just things that like theaters like that now, like Punch mm-hmm. Drunk is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could definitely see the Science Fiction Theater Company, even though I've never seen them before. But
come see us.
Yeah, yeah. I would go to Boston just for that.
Yeah.
But seeing that be like a new thing that kind of comes into play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, one of the... I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Matt. We were a company in residence at the Factory Theater, which recently closed in Boston. Well, no, not so much closed as announced their closing. They're closing in October.
Oh.
They announced that last week. So we're kind of...
homeless?
Kind of homeless. And so we have our fall show. That's thankfully before it's closing. But we had spring dates and that plan. But that plan's, you know, unfortunately up in the air right now. So we are looking into a lot of non-traditional spaces and a lot of different ways we can kind of investigate yeah. and explore science fiction as a genre in non-stage spaces.
You know what would be kind of a non-traditional space is... basing a Boston-based theater company in San Diego.
That is not traditional. You are correct.
Yes.
I feel like you might have ulterior motives behind that suggestion.
Maybe. LMDA.
Yeah.
Now, how in the world did you get on that? That's the top...
I know people.
Yeah. You know T.
Yeah. So I was attending the conference. I was planning on attending, but I wasn't planning on presenting. And then at the last minute, someone dropped out of a panel and I knew the person who was chairing it, Magna Romanska, and she asked me to fill in.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what did you do there?
So I was on a panel that was talking about new media dramaturgy and creating virtual worlds. And I talked about science fiction theater. And I specifically talked about the virtual body in terms of performing a hologram. And the other people in the conference were super cool.
Yeah.
Two of them used dramaturgy to create video games, which was awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And the other guy teaches robots to act. So that was awesome, too.
That is an odd thing.
It is a thing. Oh, it is a thing. It was super cool. Do you know, I mean, he wasn't involved in this one, but you know there's an acting robot, it's a thespian robot in North Carolina.
Really?
I think it's at Duke, but it might be at UNC Chapel Hill.
I had no idea that this existed.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I mean, I know like at Disneyland they had acting robots. Or the theater of Chuck E. Cheese, where they had their robots.
Oh, those are different. Robot. Those are, you know, animatronic versus performing.
Yeah, but amusement park performing and theater performing can be a bit different, especially for robots, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did he give any insight to what he does to...
Yeah. So it was all about kind of... So the robots that he works with are kind of... they're at UC Berkeley.
Yeah.
And they are around campus to, like, give people instructions, but they also play games with people, and they attempt to read people's emotions.
Oh.
So, but they can't really read a person's emotion, so they... use people's responses to kind of predict what the emotion would be and then act that certain way in response.
Oh.
It's very interesting.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like mimicry.
Kind of agree, but like not necessarily, you know, kind of like the appropriate, like the yin and the yang of that. So like if you were sad, like the robot might predict that you would be sad by that and then try to comfort you.
Yeah.
And not just be sad too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm predicting that you're sad. So this is
like the appropriate reaction for someone who would be sad.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Did you get to moderate anything?
I didn't get to moderate anything, but I got to attend things. So that was cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So do you see like any future for yourself, like doing things with LMDA?
I don't know that I wouldn't say that's in my immediate roadmap, but who knows, someday, you know, it's a really great organization that I think is a really good champion for dramaturgy, in the Americas, cause it's the United States and Canada.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that they're doing a lot of really interesting work to further the profession. So I would like to be involved.
I mean, it seems like a great opportunity cause again, this is like the top, it seems, at least in America.
Yeah.
Oh, in absolutely. The Americas. Yeah. I mean, it has it in the name, but for dramaturgs, I mean, that's, you know, the source, and you know, we have a direct connection to a former president.
That's true.
Are you working on any projects right now?
Yeah, I'm doing a couple things right now. I'm working on a show for Science Fiction Theater Company. We're doing a show, it's a new play called The Singularity, that's about a woman who gets impregnated by dark matter, and that's very exciting, and that's going up in September. I'm also working on a reading of a show that's with a new works company in Boston. And I'm also working on with an organization called the New Play Alliance that's trying to make new work more accessible.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Essentially, all the things I'm doing right now are involving new work because, you know, it's really important that we get diverse voices out there and make sure that people who are not necessarily represented are able to vocalize and express themselves creatively, and make sure that these issues, whether social issues we have, are being talked about actively. And, you know, I love Death of a Salesman as much as the next person, but we're not experiencing the same thing right now that Arthur Miller was.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can do it again, and we can find themes that are true to now and connect and make sure it's the best production we can make it. Or we can work on something new and bring a new voice to the conversation that hasn't been able to have one before.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was thinking about, like, would there be a way that, do you think, you could tie this theater company into something like Comic-Con? Or at least...
I would like to.
That'd be cool. Another cool thing would be, and I guess this is more on a personal level, mm-hmm. but now that the Fringe has been happening in San Diego...
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Not too far away from Comic-Con, would that be a thing that, do you think the sci-fi theater company would be interested in doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be really cool. We haven't done Fringe previously, and not just San Diego, but like any Fringe, but I think that would be great. I mean, Boston doesn't have a Fringe festival, so we haven't participated in something like that per se.
I mean, the New York one is, I guess that's
the
just
New York
like
one would be the closer one. And you know, obviously there's a big one in DC as well, but you know that would definitely be something that we would like to look at.
Yeah.
You know, there is a
I'm just scheming of ways to get you back out.
I know. Yeah. I'm gonna pretend you're not, though. There is a great science fiction, they also kind of do geek theater, so I don't know how they're gonna classify themselves, but I'll say science fiction for now. Theater in Chicago.
Yeah.
That Otherworld Theater, that does a lot of great stuff with conventions and kind of getting their name out that way. So that's something that we're definitely interested in kind of working on in the future.
Yeah.
But not necessarily something we've done to this time.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm excited for everything that you're doing and everything that is going to happen, especially to see where this science fiction theater goes.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, like, you know, loss of space is always tragic. It seems like it can like set you back, but then that also can be a good little challenge to launch you somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really great way of looking at it. And, you know, it's unfortunate, obviously, that we are losing the space, particularly because Boston in general is a little... Boston's not low on theater or art. It is low on space.
Really?
Yeah, which is an interesting conundrum, just in terms of kind of trying to make sure everything has a place and things that are supported. So that's a conversation that's really happening in Boston right now, particularly since we are having an election for governor coming up.
Yeah.
So just kind of trying to have that be an active part, which I think is great. Yeah. And I think that this is a great example of that. But I do think that in general, you know, it also provides us avenues for creative solutions. And
yeah, because there's no like ways. Like open like storefronts or whatever.
You know, that is something that does happen from time to time, but it's less common. You know, you guys in San Diego definitely have a lot more storefront theater than Boston does.
And I mean, we definitely have a good theater scene here, but I don't think it's anything in comparison to what they have in Boston.
Yeah, Boston, it's just kind of surprising that Boston doesn't have as much space as it does, because it does have a very large theater scene. In San Diego, you're right, it has like a good size scene. It's definitely growing, but like Boston has a very large fringe scene. It has like as a tier, not necessarily festival.
Yeah.
But as it has a good mid-sized theater scene. It has three Lort theaters. It has a great touring season and a great producing season. And it's just a shame that like, you know, the space is limited.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm glad that you're here, accomplished dramaturg, jumping into this new avenue of theater.
Thanks. Hopefully,
your name will be etched in the book of things that are important in theater.
I mean, I like that book. That's books on my bookshelf, you know, with etchings.
Etchings.
Yeah.
Yes, just etchings. No, not even like actual words.
Well, thank you. I know what you mean.
Yes. Perhaps in the future, SDSU students will be reading Kelly Holly articles.
Oh my gosh, that was one of the really cool things, though. The guy at LMDA who taught the robots to act.
Yeah.
I read his book on dramaturgy as an undergrad.
Really?
Yeah, that was super exciting. I was like, I'm on the same panel as you. No, it was really cool.
That's how
really
you know you've made it.
Yeah, right? No, it was super exciting.
No, it seems like you have a really, really bright future, and that's exciting.
Thank you. I'm excited about it.
Yes.
Really good.
Cool. Do you have any advice out there for somebody who's getting into this area?
Dramaturgy?
Yeah.
Well, science fiction?
Dramaturgy. Actually, we could probably cover a couple different things.
Which one would you like to cover first?
Dramaturgy.
Dramaturgy. I would say find someone that you really appreciate their collaboration style and kind of learn from that. It's a collaboration is a huge part of dramaturgy. It's essential to learn early on and kind of learn how to be open and ask questions and just kind of observe how someone you respect and think does a good job, kind of how they handle and navigate situations.
Nice, nice. And second part to that, somebody who's coming up, who's mm-hmm. putting together like a new theater company, getting that off the ground. Because obviously it seems like you've joined the sci-fi theater company.
Yeah.
In its early stages.
Right.
Any advice to the people getting their own project going and companies going?
You know, I would say one of the best things that you can do if you are starting a theater company or anything like that is make sure that you have a strong mission statement and stick to that. Because, you know, it's easy to do passion projects and it's easy to do things that you think are interesting but may not fit your mission. And I think part of forming your early identity is really kind of being kind of strict to what that mission is. And obviously you're forming that mission, so that can be whatever you want it to be. But once you kind of decide on that, make sure that you kind of are true to that.
Great. Well said. Well,
thank you.
Thank you for coming on this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
And we'll look out for your stuff in the future.
Sounds good.
All right. What did I tell you guys? Fantastic person. And just really interesting. Has so many fantastic ideas about theater and where she is, where she's going. Dug the whole interview. I even took a class with her, and now I feel like I even learned more. So, definitely check out what she's doing. Check out the Science Fiction Theater Company. I'll be sure to post a little link here on Podomatic. And
I hope that you all are doing well. And we'll see you at the next one. Goodbye, everybody.